Take your Bibles, if it's possible for you to do so, and you turn to me to two passages of Scripture. The first one is found in Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse 15, and then Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen to the Word of God, if you will. In Esther chapter 4, verse 15, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day, that Esther put on her royal apparel, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom.' And Esther answered, 'If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him.' Then the king said, 'Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther had said.' So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared." Our subject today, the cry of the awakened sinner. I use the term awakened sinner because the vast majority of people today don't seem to understand what the term awakened sinner is. When God sets out to save a sinner, he first does certain things to the individual, which that individual had never experienced before. It is the awakening of the person from their dead spiritual condition. Now hold your seat. Nobody escapes this, regardless of who they are. Each individual remembers what took place, and they can never get over the mercy and blessing of God upon them when he reaches down and saves them. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about at this hour? If not, my friend, you better go back and ask the Lord to make you become what is called an awakened sinner. Because every individual outside of Christ, are you listening? Every individual outside of Christ is a dead sinner before God. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." And then in John chapter 5 and verse 25, we read again, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now look at this, if you will. The hour is coming, which is future, but the hour now is, which means it's going on at this present hour. The Lord God of heaven is awakening dead sinners. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And then in John chapter 10, we find again, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what it means to stand before God as an awakened sinner? If you don't, my friend, you better go back and ask yourself this question. What in the world happened to me when I supposedly got saved? Many of you have done what I did years ago. You gave a mental assent to a given truth, and that was called salvation. But my friend, it doesn't work that way. You see, when God sets out to save a sinner, the first thing he does, he awakens that individual. Now, how does he do it? And so our lesson will bring this out. First of all, there comes the word of the king sent by his messengers. In Esther chapter 3, we find a decree of the king for the extermination of the Jews that was clearly known. You see it set forth in Esther chapter 3, and again we find it in verse 13 and 15. Listen to what it says, if you will. Esther chapter 3. Listen carefully, if you will. Notice what it says. "And the letters were sent by the post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day." Now here you have the decree of the king. And what is it? The decree of the king with regard to Esther was that all the Jews were to be put to death on the 13th day of the 12th month. Are you listening? Listen carefully, if you will. When this takes place, are you listening? When God sets out and awakens a sinner, here's what he does. The decree of the king for that individual's death is clearly known to the individual. Now, someone might say, Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17 says, The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And in John chapter 3 and verse 18, and also in verse 36, the scripture again says, He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now hold your seat, if you will. This takes place, but I'll tell you, it becomes a living reality to the heart when it's written upon the individual. Because you see, when God sets out to save a sinner, he awakens that individual and makes him to understand that the decree of the king is this. They are doomed to an eternal death unless they repent and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, how is this brought about? God uses preachers as set forth by the messengers that went out from the king. And I'll tell you right now, I happen to be one of God's messengers. And I urgently remind you, there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And I earnestly remind you again that you have a limited time because, listen, that we don't know how long your reprieve is that you're living under, because every individual outside of Christ is living under a reprieve. And how long that reprieve is, only the Lord God of heaven knows. Now we find the word of the king is sent forth by his messengers. Secondly, the sentence of death is clearly written upon the heart. And we see it set forth in Esther chapter 4 with regard to Mordecai. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Then in Esther chapter 4 again, we find this is what Esther said. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now what are you talking about? Both Esther and Mordecai knew exactly what it meant to have the sentence of death written upon their hearts. Now hold your seat. When God sets out to save a sinner, he does the same thing. He awakens that individual by using the law of God, and the law of God becomes the instrument of condemnation upon the sinner, and the sinner recognizes and understands that he's cursed by the law of God because he has already broken the law of God, and the law of God says, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And the individual can't do them, and he's already broken the law of God. So we find he knows that he's cursed and condemned by the law of God, and the sentence of death is written clearly upon that individual heart. All right, this produces a reaction. And what is it? It's become a sorrowing, and searching becomes a mode of action. Again, Esther chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And we find what happened, all right, sorrowing and searching becomes the mode of action. Mordecai here began to search and cry out unto the Lord God of heaven for deliverance from this decree. Are you listening? The sinner does the same thing. And the individual today who's under conviction will do the same thing. You say, well, preacher, you're so dogmatic about it. Can I prove that in the scripture? I most certainly can. Because if you'll take your Bibles and you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 88, we read these words. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried night and day before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thy ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all the waves, Selah. Now, that's what takes place. Now, what are you talking about? The individual begins to sorrow because, you see, repentance brings godly sorrow. And godly sorrow and repentance go hand in hand. And godly sorrow brings repentance, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world does nothing but bring death. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about at this hour? Then we find the fourth thing is this. Esther and Mordecai were shut up to one mode of action. And what was that? Esther must sue for mercy to be given from the king. In Esther chapter 4, we find again, Esther was told by Mordecai that she had to go in front of the king. Now, she hadn't appeared in front of the king for for 30 days. And so that meant if she went and came and stood contrary to the law of the Medes and Persians, there was one law, and that was this. If the king did not hold out the golden scepter to her, she would immediately be put to death. Now, that was the law of the Medes and Persians. And we find, what are you talking about? Esther was shut up to one course of action. She said to Mordecai these words, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days nor night, night or day. I also and my maiden will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." You see, this was her mode of action. She had to go to the king and sue for mercy. And are you listening? When the Lord God of heaven shuts up the sinner under Holy Spirit conviction and puts it and awakens that sinner is shut up to one course of action. And that is this. He had to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and he's the sinner. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? You see, salvation is a traumatic experience. It happens just one time for the individual, and that individual either comes to Christ or that individual becomes a reprobate sinner and later on dies and goes to hell. Now, the one course of action for every individual this hour is this. That individual has got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and they are the sinner. In other words, they got to be awakened to their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sad commentary of today is this. The vast majority of our religious people in America today do not know what it means to stand before God as an awakened sinner. What about you out there in Radio Land? Do you know what I'm talking about? You see, as I mentioned before, salvation is a traumatic experience, and the individual is shut up to one course of action. And I listen. Are you listening? What is it? He has to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If Esther had not come to the king and sued for mercy, and the king had extended mercy to her, all right, Esther and all the Jews would have been killed on the 13th day of the 12th month, according to the decree. Now, the word of God is plain. Listen carefully, if you will. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what are you talking about? The only way for you to be saved is for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a poor, awakened, helpless sinner. But then, there's one more thing about it. Esther was only shut up to one course of action, and so is every awakened sinner. But then, I'll tell you right now, the next thing is this. They did not know if they would be received or not. Esther said, "I'll go unto the king contrary to the law, and if I perish, I perish." And are you listening? The individual, when he sues for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, he doesn't know if the Lord God of heaven will listen to him and will save him until it takes place. And that's the marvel of salvation. Now you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Well, you go again. Esther chapter 5, if you will, and look at me at verse 1. "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall even be given thee to the half of thy kingdom.'" Esther didn't know what was going to happen. And are you listening? The individual doesn't know either what's going to happen until it takes place. And that means there will be the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to that individual soul as that person's all-sufficient Lord and Savior. You see, my friend, salvation is more than walking the aisle. Salvation is more than reading a verse of Scripture and uttering a prayer and giving a mental assent to a given truth. That's going on today. Salvation, as I've said before, is a traumatic experience between you and the individual. And I want you to notice, there was nobody involved but Esther and the king. And there's nobody involved but you and the Lord God of heaven when it takes place. It's the person and work of God the Holy Spirit to do what? Search you out, put you under conviction by using the law of God upon your soul, making you stand before God as a guilty, lost, helpless, hopeless, and hapless sinner, wondering if the Lord God of heaven would save you, and shut up to one mode of action, and that was this: you're sorrowing because of your sin, but at the same time, you're suing for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner. Nobody else can help you. And are you listening? It takes place between you and the Lord God of heaven. Esther stood in that inner court alone. Esther stood in that inner court afraid. Esther stood in that inner court wondering what was going to happen to her. She already knew that she was under the sentence of death. When she came to the king, she did not know if the king would immediately have her put to death or if the king would extend to her the golden scepter. And are you listening? When an individual is under conviction, the Lord God of heaven opens that individual's heart, and that individual also is made to cry unto the Lord God of heaven for mercy. And when that individual cries for mercy, how long? It takes only the Lord God of heaven. We don't know how long Esther stood in that inner court, but she stood there for a few moments anyway, because the king, first of all, had to see her, and then the king had to make up his mind. Would he extend the golden scepter to her, or would he have her put to death? He hadn't seen her for 30 days. And my friend, are you listening? When the Lord God of heaven brings an individual into the delivery room of God, because that's what it is, that individual doesn't know if the Lord God of heaven is going to reach down and save him until it takes place. And that makes salvation a reality. It makes salvation also a traumatic experience, and it's an experience between the individual and the Lord Jesus Christ. My time is almost gone. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? How did the Lord save you, my radio friend? Ask yourself this question. If you were to die right now, where would you go? Would it be heaven or would it be hell? Now, some of you will say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. That's not good enough. Esther hoped the king would spare her. Are you listening? The sinner hopes that God will spare him or her, but until it takes place, it doesn't do a bit of good. It's nothing but a hope-so. And salvation is not a guess-so, maybe-so, think-so, wonder-so, or surmise-so. Salvation is a revelation of Christ to the individual heart. And my hope and my prayer is that you know what I'm talking about. Oh, if you don't, my hope is that the Lord will speak to your heart, even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Nortier saying goodbye. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.